Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the dynamic Joe Fordyce, our Flyers pre- and post-game live producer. Joe, the Shane Gostisbehere era is over. The Flyers made another trade on Thursday. They moved Shane Gostisbehere to the Coyotes along with a 2022 second-round pick and 2022 seventh-round pick. The seventh-round pick they acquired in the Erik Gustafsson trade. So the Flyers had to move two picks along with Gostisbehere for the Coyotes to take on Gostisbehere and obviously his cap hit. So the Flyers, in return, don't get anything, but they do get the cap relief, which we know in a flat cap world is very valuable. It's a hot commodity right now, is cap relief. So the Flyers will have $4.5 million in cap space now for next season, this upcoming season, excuse me, and the following season. Joe, that was certainly a notable trade because, one, it's a trade in general, and then also Shane Gostisbehere has been here for six full seasons. He's never played anywhere else. He's made some memories here. He's lived in Philadelphia his entire pro hockey life. This was a big deal. What did you think of it when it came down?
Well, you know, we talked about it on the last podcast, and the acquisition of Ryan Ellis combined with the what they hope emergence of Cam York kind of made Ghost the expendable one. And the need for cap space also made him expendable. And we heard Chuck Fletcher earlier reference the raises due to Sanheim and some of the other players that need to get paid that are on the roster already. So that's even taking out anything else they want to do outside of the guys that are already on the roster. They need money to pay their own guys, some of their own guys that are on the team. So, you know, it didn't surprise me. As I've talked about before, and we were talking about it on the last podcast, both of us were fans of Shane Gostisbehere. Over the last number of years, I don't know of any player on this team drove the offense as much as a healthy and confident Shane Gostisbehere. So from that perspective, I am not thrilled to see him go. I really thought he was an exciting player, and he brought a lot of energy to this team when he was going well. And I always remember the season he came up, his rookie season. And, you know, we've talked about it before, that team doesn't make the playoffs if not for him coming up that year and just what he brought to the table coming up that season under Dave Hextall. And it was something we hadn't seen in so long, how dynamic of a player he was, and particularly his value on the power play and his creativity on the power play, his ability to play at 10-2 at the blue line. And just, you know, he brought so much to the table when he was healthy and confident. That said, you know, we've seen some times in the years since where his health has been in question and his confidence has been down. And when his confidence is down, this is, again, something I've said, I don't know that I've ever seen an athlete potentially in sports whose confidence affects them as much as Shane Gostisbehere. And it was down when it was down, it was down. And when it was up, I mean, every single part of his game was elevated when his confidence was up. And that's what I'll always remember about Shane Gostisbehere. I think he's a valuable addition to a young team there in Arizona. And of course the Flyers get that cap space and we'll see now what they do with it. I still feel like there's more moves to be made. I don't think we've seen the last of acquiring cap space. If Chuck Fletcher has anything to say about it, I think they will still be busy.
Yeah, there certainly looks like there's more moves in store because the Flyers really wanted to shed Shane Gostisbehere's cap hit. And there's a reason why they wanted to do that. And it's probably because they want to make more moves. And it sure looks like the Flyers, as much as they respect Shane Gostisbehere and the career he had in Philadelphia, it is a business. And it sure looks like they were probably crossing their fingers, hoping Seattle would take him in the expansion draft, because they made that trade about, I would say, less than an hour after that the roster freeze was lifted. There was a roster freeze, as we all know, for the expansion draft. And during that freeze, teams could only negotiate deals with the Kraken. That roster freeze, that trade freeze in the NHL was lifted on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. At that point, teams were free to go back to negotiating deals with any team across the league. So as we expected, some trades would come out. And I think that trade was announced, or at least it was reported, before 2 p.m. Eastern time. So it sure looks like the Flyers were thinking to themselves, if Shane Gostisbehere is not taken by the Seattle Kraken, we are ready to move him and complete this deal with the Arizona Coyotes. And that's what happened. The Flyers ended up losing two draft picks because of it. If the Kraken had taken Shane Gostisbehere, they wouldn't have lost those draft picks. So they were clearly ready to make that trade if he was not taken. He was not. Carson Terinsky was taken. And Shane Gostisbehere's fate in Philadelphia was pretty much sealed at that point. And Joe, it just shows you they I think another thing that sort of made this trade inevitable was the fact that they got Ryan Ellis and the fact that he's going to play on a power play unit, and so is Ivan Provorov. And Chuck Fletcher admitted that the rise of Cam York also played a major factor in it, because Cam York has a similar skill set to Shane Gostisbehere. A lot of people think he has much higher upside than Shane Gostisbehere. He's only 20 years old, and the team wants him pushing for a roster spot in training camp, and he does things that Shane Gostisbehere does. So suddenly the depth at what Shane Gostisbehere does really well in terms of quarterbacking a power play, making plays, doing things offensively, they have guys there now in Shane Gostisbehere's strengths. And I think that really made those elements, along with him not being taken in the expansion draft and then the pressure to get cap relief, all kind of confluenced into a Shane Gostisbehere trade. Joe, were you bothered at all that they got nothing in return other than obviously the cap relief? So I think some people were like, wow, like this guy had a 17-goal rookie season. He was a runner-up for the Calder Trophy that year. He had a 65-point season at the NHL level, and the Flyers ended up having to give up draft picks for a team to take him.
Well, you know, it's if you listen to Chuck Fletcher and you listen to any other GMs, quite frankly, around the league, this cap space is as valuable as any player in this league right now, because teams don't have it. And so was I bothered that they didn't get anything in return? A little bit, only because I felt like Shane Gostisbehere was a really contributing player. And it's only for $4.5 million in cap space. It's a little different if it was a player like Jake Voracek and you're getting $8+ million of cap space. You're getting a real sizable amount of cap space, like an off-season changing amount of cap space. I don't consider $4.5 million an off-season changing amount of cap space to get for a player of this caliber, for the caliber of Gostisbehere. So, yeah, from that perspective, I'm a little bit bothered by it. And I've always been a guy who likes Ghost. So, I think he brings a lot to the table. But and I'm not surprised that they didn't get anything. I felt like this was going to be a one-way deal. I feel like all the deals they make are going to be one-way deals here, unless you're dealing for a player like Jack Eichel or something like that. But in terms of any deal that involves anybody that has a big contract and term, I feel like are going to be one-way deals across the league, not just the Flyers, but across the league, because that's just the climate that this league is in right now with the salary cap and kind of coming off of these couple of seasons that were hindered or, you know, affected by COVID. This is what teams are going to do. And you're going to have to give up potentially valuable assets to get rid of your own big contracts. And that's just the way it's going to be.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The one night when the whole world comes together. The world's biggest show on the world's biggest stage. The opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics is Friday at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time on NBC. Yeah, Joe, two things that I really started to realize as I was thinking about the trade and evaluating it and just wondering, you know, why the Flyers had to make the deal and why they had to give a pitch was, one, I think when Shane Gostisbehere was placed on waivers last season, the Flyers expressed this extreme confidence that he was going to clear. And a lot of people were puzzled, like, why is Shane Gostisbehere on waivers? And I think the reason they expressed this extreme confidence was that they probably gathered that teams were not taking on money at all in trades in this flat cap world. They were probably shopping Shane Gostisbehere. They were probably poking around, expressing to teams that they were looking to move Shane Gostisbehere. And teams probably weren't willing to take it on for the right deal. And that's why the Flyers probably at that point were saying, well, let's put him on waivers, because when he gets put on waivers, he clears, we can put him on our taxi squad. And then throughout the rest of the season, they were able to bank cap space. It gave them more roster flexibility. And they were able to make that risk because I think they truly gathered in the trade discussions with other teams that teams flat out were not taking on money in deals. They were not it's a flat cap world. Everything is super tight. And teams simply don't want to take on $4.5 million this season and next season at that point. Actually, for 3 years, because they would have been taking on $4.5 million the rest of the way last season, obviously this upcoming season and the following. So that was one thing I really recognized. And the more Chuck Fletcher probably talked to GMs around the league and made Shane Gostisbehere available, I wonder if teams maybe knew he was obviously looking to move him because they had depth on the back end, because Shane Gostisbehere really hasn't been the same player he was probably 2-3 years ago. And they knew, like, if you're looking to move him and you're trying to move him to me, we're really not going to give you much because we're taking all money and we're doing you a favor. And Chuck Fletcher admitted that one team, in order to take on Shane Gostisbehere, asked them to include Cam York in the trade, which is mind-boggling. I'm sure Chuck Fletcher probably laughed at that and probably hung up. And then another team asked them for their first-round pick. And that just shows you teams were not willing to take on that money. And if they were going to take Shane Gostisbehere, they wanted something as well to really sweeten it up and say, hey, we're taking on money. I thought that spoke volumes.
Well, that gives me concern for their any ability to move either of the two big contracts they had unprotected with Seattle, that being Voracek or JVR. I mean, if teams are asking for Cam York and first round picks to take Ghost's money at $4.5 million, what are they going to be asking to take on Jake's money or take on JVR's money, which is, you know, $7+ million for JVR, $8+ million for Jake Voracek? I don't think you're going to have a lot of suitors lining up for that, considering what Chuck Fletcher said teams were asking in order to take on Ghost money, which was half of what those guys are making. Yeah. So, you know, it just goes back to the climate we're in. And, you know, the cap space, and it's as valuable as any player right now. And, that's why heading into the trade deadline and into the offseason, how many times did we say Chuck Fletcher doesn't have an easy job ahead of him? Well, this is what we were talking about, navigating this landscape of, well, we're not going to take on this money, but if we take on this little bit of money, can you give us like one of your best prospects, or how about a draft pick, or how about this, or how about that? And it really is it's like the Wild West. I mean, there's no telling what a team could ask for at this point. You know, with what Chuck Fletcher said today, would you be surprised if somebody said, we'll take on Voracek if you give us your first round pick and then, I don't know, Sean Couturier? Why is that even off the table? I mean, it sounds preposterous, but when you put it in the scope of what Chuck Fletcher was talking about earlier today, it isn't. I mean, it seems like anything and everything is on the table.
It truly does. And my jaw dropped as I was on this Zoom with Chuck Fletcher. I'm sure yours did too, Joe, when he mentioned that a team asked for Cam York to take on Shane Gostisbehere in his cap hit and a first round pick to take on Shane Gostisbehere. Like, that is just like a no-no across the board. Like, I don't, you know, discussions are done here. And that just shows you the world we're living in terms of flat cap in this NHL offseason. Heck, you know, before the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of people looked at Shane Gostisbehere's contract as a team-friendly one because there was team control with the amount of years and term to it. And then you're expecting the salary cap floor to go up every single season, just naturally, obviously. But with the pandemic, the salary cap floor is staying stagnant because of the economic impact with the coronavirus pandemic. And suddenly $4.5 million was not looked at very team-friendly. It was actually looked at like a big cap hit. And that's what it is in this world right now. Flyers Talk is brought to you by Great Railing. Stop into Great Railing for the highest quality and lowest prices on all your railing, decking, and fencing needs.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, Joe, as we know, this offseason is far from done. We're expecting more moves from the Flyers. This Shane Gostisbehere trade was certainly a sign of more moves to come as this critical offseason continues for the Flyers. We have the entry draft coming up on Friday and Saturday, the first round on Friday, the later rounds on Saturday, and then free agency starts next Wednesday. So there's going to be a lot to be done this offseason and with more moves in store. But just another thing on this crazy offseason, the Flyers schedule was released. So now we know who the Flyers are playing in 2021-22. Joe, it sure was refreshing to see an 82-game schedule and what looks like normalcy. What games, though, popped out to you on this Flyers schedule? As we know, they opened the season with four straight home games. That is very cool. You don't see that a ton. Their home opener is against the Canucks on October 15th. And their second game is against the Kraken and Dave Hackstall at home, of course, on October 18th. But what games stood out to you?
So just that four-game homestand, it's the first time since their second Stanley Cup season, so the 74-75 season, that they've opened with four straight home games. Also, if you think back, I'm not talking about the bubble season, and I'm not talking about this past season. If you think back to the last few regular seasons that they've had, I mean regular schedules that they've had, they've almost always opened on the West Coast. They opened in San Jose one year, I believe. They opened in L.A. one year. It's refreshing to see them open at home. I was interested to see that, one, you opened with Vancouver. So it's a team that you haven't seen in how long?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's going to be almost, three calendar years by the time they play them, I think, and since the last time they played them.
Yeah.
And then you get Seattle, which is interesting to me on a couple of for a couple of reasons. Seattle is coming to Philadelphia before they play a home game.
Okay.
because Seattle opens in Vegas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So it's, you know, that is very interesting to me. So Dave Hackstall is the new coach of the Seattle Kraken, and he'll coach in his last head coaching spot before he'll coach in his current one, which is very interesting to me. So you have that. What I was looking at is the return of the Black Friday game. That's Rod Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes. And then the annual West Coast trip over the holidays, which now includes Seattle, is back. So as much as, you know, I don't, as much as it affects me getting out of the office at 2 o'clock in the morning, those nights when they have those games for producing the pre and post, it's good to see that part of the schedule back. And some of the traditional things that go on. And then of course you have Ryan Ellis going back to Nashville in March. You have obviously all their games with Pittsburgh, and now the Islanders have become this rival now from the bubble in this past season. You know, those games always stand out to me, but I really found, I find the beginning of the season to be very interesting. You're opening with Vancouver and Seattle, two teams that you really know nothing about. You haven't, I'm not saying they won't scout them beforehand, but what I'm saying is the one team you haven't played in a few seasons, the other team is a brand new franchise. That's a very interesting way to open a season.
Truly. And you can only imagine the buzz that's going to be in the Wells Fargo Center, because that's the first time we're going to see full capacity for the Flyers since March 2020, when their season was cut short because of the pandemic. So you think about it, home opener is their season opener. First time full capacity, there's going to be a real buzz. And then the second game is against the expansion Kraken. First look at the Kraken for everyone in Philadelphia. There's just going to be a natural buzz there. On top of it, Dave Hackstall is returning with that team. It's just going to be such a fun start to the season and really refreshing to see 82 games on that schedule. Joe, as you mentioned, some of the normal road trips we're accustomed to around the holidays, homestands, and I think...
The Black Friday, we don't know that it's going to be a matinee because the time's not out, but the Black Friday home game is a tradition since I was a little kid. They always played Black Friday. And then, of course, the one other one that just came to my mind is New Year's Day night, not New Year's Eve, but New Year's Day night at the Staples Center against the LA Kings.
Yeah.
It's always an interesting place to open up the new year. Of course, this Kings team is a rebuilding team, but they have some young pieces too. And that's another team. Like, to me, these games against the Western Conference teams have extra intrigue this year because you haven't played them in a couple seasons now. So generally where you go, oh, this is just a game against Chicago, or this is just a game against, Vancouver is one of those teams, or if this is a game against, I mean, I wouldn't say Edmonton because of McDavid, and same thing if Calgary, assuming Johnny Gaudreau is there, but just, you know, it's just your run of the mill game against the San Jose Sharks. It's not a run of the mill game this coming season, because you haven't seen these teams play. A lot of these teams have changed coaches since the last time you've seen them. Calgary, even Vegas has changed coaches since the last time the Flyers have played them. I believe San Jose, there's a lot of teams that have changed coaches since the last time you've seen them. And, you know, I'm sorry.
Columbus being another.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Columbus, no Tortorella there anymore. I mean, you have a lot. Arizona, Rick Tocchet's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you really have some intrigue with these Western Conference opponents. And I think that's good, because I felt like, I know the NHL likes to pack those division games at the end of the season, and that was something that's kind of been like the last 4 years has been more of a thing. I felt like there were points of the season where you're playing four or five games against Western Conference teams, and it's a little bit of a lull. I mean, we know, of course, a few years ago, the Flyers had that dreadful West Coast trip over the holidays that almost completely derailed their season.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to be the case this year, because having not seen these teams in so long, any of these teams could sneak up on you. And I even include Seattle because we saw how Vegas played in their first season as an expansion team. So in hockey, unlike some other sports, an expansion team doesn't mean a team that's just going to roll over and give you a win. Yeah. So, yeah, so those Western Conference games for the first time in a while, I think, provide a lot more intrigue than usual.
Absolutely. And if you need more on the schedule, you can check it out on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. We have the full schedule with fun facts, matchups, all that fun stuff on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. But yes,
Take it in. It's an 82-game schedule. It's been a while since we saw one of those, right?
It has, Joey. I was thinking, I'm like, wow, this is the first time in three seasons that they're going to have an 82-game schedule, because you almost just forget that, like, 2019-20, that felt normal. But then when the season obviously was brought to a stop, the Flyers at that point were 69 games in, and everything changed.
And we should also mention the Olympic break. There's only four games in the month of February, with an Olympic break in there for it. This is assuming the NHL can come to an agreement with the players to go play in the Olympics. I believe every team has also been sent a version of the schedule without an Olympic break in it. And I don't know that those schedules have been publicized. I haven't seen any of them because they're planning on the Olympic break now. So that's an interesting dynamic when you have the holiday break, then you play a month, and then you have a month where there's only four games with a big Olympic break. And depending on how many guys from the Flyers go to the Olympics, I mean, that's a sizable amount of time off.
Yeah, the Flyers are not scheduled to play from February 2nd to the 22nd. But as Joe mentioned, that Olympic break is in pencil right now. Nothing is firm and done yet on that. So schedules could be revised if the NHL decides not to hold that break and allow players to play in the Olympics. But that is like kind of a new, obviously that's very new. So that would be a huge thing down the stretch drive of a season. So because
of that Olympic break too, the regular season goes through the month of April, which happened this year because the season started in January. But generally, the playoffs start in the second week of April. This year, the regular season, assuming the Olympic break happens, the season will run through April and the playoffs will start in May, much like they did this year. So a lot of interesting wrinkles in this schedule, not only the opponents and the way the schedule's laid out and sort of the return to normalcy, but at the same time, the more normal returns, there's more abnormalities like the Olympic break and the season going through April that get put back in the schedule. So the NHL is always keeping us on our toes these last few years.
Oh, 100%. And the Flyers, let's be real, right now are keeping us all on our toes with this crazy offseason, this crazy month of July. We've now seen two big trades, one acquiring Ryan Ellis, one sending Shane Gostisbehere out of town for the first time in his career. And there's still a lot to be done. And we'll have all of it here on Flyers Talk. Joe Flores, thanks so much. This was fun chatting and cannot wait to talk to you next time. Who knows what we'll have to chat about. Ben Berry, our podcast producer, a special thank you to him as well. And Flyers fans, as always, thank you for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.